This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 21st, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 453 and happy summer solstice. On this edition, the first week of the FIFA World Cup across North America in Vancouver, I speak with ticket broker Kingsley Bailey, who has a storefront in the shadow of BC Place Stadium, and Ruben Williams, an Australian sports consultant who came to Vancouver and watched the Socceroos shut out Turkey, but 3 days later, he was a victim of theft. And who's who in the zoo? The Breaker captured exclusive footage of some of the VIPs who attended Canada's first match at BC Place on June 18th. But first, in case you missed it, the biggest parade of soccer fans in Canada since the 1979 Soccer Bowl Championship celebration in Vancouver when the Whitecaps won the North American Soccer League title. The Voyageurs organized the march to the match from Science World to BC Place Stadium, where Canada beat Qatar 6-0. Kingsley Bailey operates a storefront event ticket brokerage, tour service, and gift store on Beattie Street across from BC Place Stadium. On June 13th, the first of seven FIFA World Cup match days in Vancouver, I spoke with Bailey about the business and the impacts of the World Cup.
You've got some interesting angles to this story because you are an area merchant and you are someone who sells tickets to events like the World Cup. Did you ever think this day would come?
No, but I've been waiting for a while, and it just kept on delay, and it's finally here, and I can't believe how great it is. The weather held up. People are fans. Fans are excited. The Turkey fans have been absolutely phenomenal. Australia's exciting. I cannot believe that it's actually here.
And they've been coming into the store in numbers.
They've been coming into the store in numbers. If every item I had was a Turkish design and had something to do with Turkey, I'd been sold out already.
Mm-hmm. That bodes well for the next few weeks.
Oh yeah, I'm very, very excited for the next few weeks for sure.
Yeah. How about the tickets themselves? The demand for people to actually go and enjoy the games. One of the biggest stories ahead of the World Cup was the high price of tickets on the primary market.
Yes, the primary market, the prices are high, but you know what? They have come down somewhat. I think what happens is in the beginning, the excitement is there, but they've come down to reality because people cannot afford those numbers. And because of that, I think the organization realized that, and there was some releases, and the prices came down slowly but steadily.
And for this first match in Vancouver, how low did they go?
I heard $600. They went down to $600, and even then, it's still pretty high. I'm hearing that there was $400 US, which works out to be about $550 Canadian. But and people were more than happy to pay that. And I wish I could have had more seats because I could have probably sold a lot more at that price.
Where are those customers coming from? Were they Turks, Aussies? Were they locals who love soccer? Who was the average customer?
They were, you know, the diaspora. A lot of them are living in North America somewhere, maybe in Canada, somewhere in the U.S., Western Park. But I've talked to a lot of them, and a lot of them have said they're of Turkish descent, they're living somewhere in North America, and they want to be here to support their team.
And how about locals here in Vancouver who may support the Whitecaps and Team Canada, of course? Were they going to this match, or were they saving up their money for the two Team Canada matches?
What I'm hearing is a lot of the Canadians are saving up their matches for the Qatar and the Switzerland game. But I think the ones that are realizing that it's going to be out of reach to get to those tickets for those games are coming to this game. They're also going, what I'm seeing is I'm also seeing New Zealand versus Egypt as another reasonable alternative to be able to go to a game at an affordable price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this really was a bit of a travesty in so many ways, bringing the World Cup back to North America since 1994, and then charging so much for opening round matches, you could justify the higher prices the deeper it goes into the tournament.
You know, the prices, you know what, you're right, it's very, very high, the prices are, and I think North America's a cash cow. They know that this is the market, the demographics are here, and they know that people will want to travel to watch games, and that's why I think we're going to be doing so successfully with the Canadian games, all seven of the games in Vancouver, and six games are in Toronto.
Have you been helping people also get hands-on tickets to matches in the U.S. and even Mexico?
Yes. I've got a list, an extensive list of a lot of people that did purchase tickets, and they've asked for my help into helping them liquidate what they have. And a lot of them didn't think they'd have a chance to get tickets for Vancouver, and they got tickets for Seattle and San Francisco and New York, and I've been able to facilitate and help them sell the tickets for most of those games.
Now, the other issue with the tickets was the dynamic pricing and how they were dealing with excess tickets on secondary markets. This really wasn't a transparent process at all, but FIFA was saying that this is how they're going to primarily make their 11 billion plus revenue projections over the next cycle.
There is no transparency, and I believe if there was transparency, the price would be a lot more reasonable for the fans. It's too high to begin with, and the releases, the tickets that were released, they came in at a much lower price than the initial on sale for their ticket prices.
And one thing FIFA was doing was trying to upsell people into the VIP ticket ranges, the suites, the lounges that came packaged with the all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink catering. That was pretty obvious on the website with the various buttons.
What I've seen, and I've talked to a lot of clients that have bought tickets in that hospitality suite, is they were guaranteed 7 games. And well before the tickets went on sale to the general public, and so they bought based on that because they didn't know what kind of demand there would be when the on sale did occur. Now, had they had an opportunity to realize what's happening after the fact, because, you know, hindsight is 2020, they would not have paid $40,000 for 7 games. Those same tickets now are being discounted for at least half of that right now.
And also, you're here, you've got a storefront, you've had a storefront for many years. You had it during the Olympics, you had it during the 2015 Women's World Cup, and also during Taylor Swift. And similar to some of those big events, Beattie Street has been closed for a major security operation. You got police protecting what's normally the Terry Fox Plaza gate to prevent gate crashers. And the transportation impact as well, because they need to get vehicles up and down here for VIPs. How has that impacted your business?
Considerably. I had to think of the right word without using any profanity. It's considerably affected my business based on the limited access that the pedestrians have. Had the pedestrians known how far they'd have to walk, we would have very little in pedestrian traffic at my store. Because there's different entrance ways to come into, and this is in the middle, and I know that if they had known, they'd be bypassing this direction for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there any compensation for any merchants down here? Is City Hall doing anything to help ease the pain? I know there's the aquarium store across the street, which had to fully close on the 7 match days, just because customers can't get down here.
No, there's no compensation. I guess the compensation is maybe the potential of future business. But with the amount of money that FIFA is making, you would think that the businesses that are being impacted by this should receive something, but it's not going to happen.
How have the people from City Hall treated businesses down here as well? Any communication, any other help, non-financial, to make things easier?
Nothing. I really have to say I have not seen any benefit at all paying for a business license from City Hall. For the amount of money that they threw out to the Fan Fest at the P&E, I would have loved to have seen something come here for the business that have been affected.
Yeah, they do have the Granville Street experience that is drawing people in there to the bars, but not in this area. In fact, the big screen on the side of BC Place at Terry Fox Plaza, which normally contains advertisements and sometimes even live action of matches, is dark.
Yeah, you know, again, is, and then over at the Fan Fest at P&E, the screens are too small. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, inefficiencies that they've done that they could have corrected and made it a fan experience, a positive fan experience. And there's a lot of things they dropped the ball on. And it's unfortunate. No head's going to roll. But for decision makers that are in charge of the Fan Fest at the P&E, there needs to be accountability. There's been a lot of mistakes made, and there's nobody there that's going to correct them because there's no penalties.
Yeah, they're charging up to $200 at the top end for reserved seating at the P&E Amphitheater, even though the rest of the site is free, but reserved seating there is quite pricey.
Very pricey, and when I was looking at it prior to the opening match, they haven't even sold 25% of their lot of tickets that are available for sale.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the tourists that come for this World Cup from the various countries, the goal just scored.
Somebody just scored.
Do you think that...
Sounds like Turkey.
Uh-huh. Do you think that Vancouver will score repeat visitors after this from these countries, or if they'll just save up their money for the next World Cup 4 years down the road?
I think we will see some ancillary business because of this World Cup, because people that have not really experienced Vancouver will say, hey, this is a nice place to go. And I've talked to a lot of people that said we would come back because they would have not even thought of coming here in the first place. But they are coming back, and I've chatted with a lot of people that said, this is amazing, the city is clean, it's safe, and we want to come back and experience a lot more than just being here for 3 days.
And what about the local market? The locals who would have spent the big money on tickets for the World Cup, there's only so much discretionary income that people have. Even the very wealthy, they eventually meet their limit in discretionary income. And how will that affect concert ticket sales? Other sporting events, you know, when the Whitecaps return from the World Cup break, do you expect to see a return of customers, or in this economy right now, do you think people will be counting their pennies a little bit more after spending so much on World Cup tickets?
I think they'll be counting their pennies a little bit more, yes, but what's happening right now we're seeing is it's going to be on a credit card, and it's going to be making their monthly payments going to be extended for another couple of months.
Of course, there is one cornerstone of the Vancouver sports scene. The Vancouver Canucks were, well, I put it mildly, underperforming. And there's not much incentive for people to buy tickets there, primary market or secondary market.
Well, they have lost a lot of the season ticket base, and I can understand why. They refuse to admit that it's a rebuild. And if you admit a rebuild, you cannot justify a ticket increase like they've been doing for the last 6 years.
And where do you think the Whitecaps Major League Soccer saga will go? Will they get what they want to get a better revenue deal, better deal with BC Place? Yeah, of course they want government subsidies, but this provincial government does not have any money. I mean, they're cutting back on seniors' infrastructure, hospital projects. They don't have any money to really go around to put into a new stadium. So where do you think that is going to go in the weeks and months to come?
I think that... the days are numbered where a sports team can hold a city to ransom, threatening a move if they don't get the concessions that they want. I think that based on the model of the Vancouver Whitecaps and what the team was purchased for initially and what the team's worth, I think it's in the best interest of ownership to do it themselves. And if they want to cash out, it's cash out. But try and see if we can have the team stay in town. But I don't really think that that's their MO. Their MO is make some money, sell the team. It doesn't matter to who, but the team, I believe, is going. If I was a betting man, I would that would be my prop bet. Whoever buys the team within 2 years, that team will be sold and it will be no longer in Vancouver. Vancouver has probably one of the strongest fan bases going, and they deserve better. The Vancouver Whitecaps have taken advantage of the fans for so long. The Vancouver Canucks have done the same. The only team that I can say that really, really, truly cares for the fan is the BC Lions. And they've got an uphill battle. Because now all of a sudden, the Whitecaps are at the forefront trying to renegotiate a BC Place deal. And it should be the BC Lions. The BC Lions have been there for the longest, and they deserve to get the best possible deal that's out there. And no team should be able to hold the city ransom and say, give us what we want to remove it. That's not right. There should be a fan code of conduct, expectations that fans expect from a team, and that's not one of them.
FIFA World Cup tourist Ruben Williams experienced highs and lows during his trip to Vancouver. On June 13th, Williams was among thousands of Australians who witnessed the Socceroos shut out Turkey at BC Place Stadium 2-0. 3 days later, on June 16th, Williams was checking out of the Level Hotel in downtown Vancouver when his baggage was stolen.
This is not the World Cup update I want to be sharing. But this morning, as I was about to get a bus to Seattle, I had my backpack and my duffel bag stolen from our hotel lobby. It had my passport, my wallet, and my laptop in it, and they're all gone.
Which hotel was it?
It was Level Hotel on Seymour Street. We've had a great stay, and I thought it was fine there, and yeah, it was gone for about 15 minutes, but that was enough for someone to see an opportunity when someone else came through the door and they snuck in, and CCTV footage showed two people run in, grab the bags, and then run away up the alleyway across the road. I've got my train ticket, I've got my temporary passport, so hopefully all goes well and we'll be in Seattle tonight, but it's been an ordeal the last 48 hours trying to get to that.
Your laptop is also gone. What are their belongings?
Yeah, laptop's gone, wallet's gone. I was able to trace down the people who had stolen my stuff because they had made about 5 or 6 transactions on my bank card at various convenience stores and was able to find the locations for those stores and ran to them immediately. It was around, I think, Thurlow and Davy Street around the corner of there. So there was like a 7-Eleven, a Martway, and a drugstore or something. And ran into each of those stores and asked them if anyone came in here about 20 or 30 minutes ago. And they started to help me build a bit of a profile for these people. And said that, yeah, there were people coming in with 2 or 3 cards trying to see if all of them work, but lost about $600 in the process of that. My MacBook is worth a fair bit, and I run my own business, and the entire business operates from that. So not only does the financial cost of that hurt, but the inability to, you know, keep on top of stuff as well hurts as well. So, and then all the stuff that's kind of hard-coded to my laptop as well. I did think to to back up my laptop before I went, but ended up not having time, so that kind of hurts, which is a mistake I won't make again. But yeah, it's been incredibly inconvenient. But then again, in like, you know, the grand scheme of issues in the world, it's still not that bad.
Any description that you have of the people that took it?
Not really. Just that they're wearing all black, skinny, one male, one female, I think. Under 30 was a description I got told from one of the convenience store owners. I haven't seen the CCTV footage. That's between the hotel and the police. But yeah, that's what I got told so far.
And how was the service from the Vancouver Police Department when you called this in?
They were good. They were good. It took me until today to chat with them directly. But they've been very helpful so far. And spoke to them on the street as well, and then gave them the case file number, and they've been very helpful with everything.
Will you come back after this happens?
I'll definitely come back. Yeah, I won't let the behaviour of a few people deter me from what Canada has to offer, because, to be honest, I didn't have too many expectations coming into Vancouver. I'd kind of just thought about the World Cup and not much else, but then when we got here, we went to Stanley Park and had a ride around there. That was spectacular. Even just looking around here has been brilliant as well. So yeah, definitely have to come back. But I think the lack of research I did coming into it and the low expectations has kind of meant I've been blown away by it, even with this very annoying series of events.
Now, tell me, how much do you pay for the tickets? It's one of the issues of this World Cup is the price of tickets.
Yeah, tickets for the US game were $500. Tickets for the match in Vancouver against Turkey were $380. I've been to the Russia World Cup and I went to the Qatar World Cup, and by comparison, I paid probably $100 to see a knockout match, round of 16 game in Qatar, which was Australia versus Argentina. And that was a tournament, Lionel Messi had the tournament of his life. So I paid $100 to see Lionel Messi score a goal at a World Cup, whereas here we're paying 5 times that to go to a group stage game.
And you run a company that's involved in recruiting people to work in the sports industry, the sports marketing, sports operations, and event operations. So you've been to many events yourself and been around people who have worked on events. How would you grade your experience in Vancouver from the actual event perspective of being at the stadium for the game and just how it all was put together.
Yeah, so like that's right, I run a company called SportsGrad, which helps people get dream jobs in sport. And through that, I've been able to go to the Olympics, I've been to the last two World Cups, have been to Cricket World Cups, and been to the Ashes in England and Tour de France, so I've seen my fair share of sport. And this has been, the fan experience has been right up there. I think all the activations and all the extra sort of quirks that come with it have been as good as anywhere. One thing that's kind of been really annoying has been the ticketing. Like FIFA ticketing portal has been a bit of a headache to get around. And I compare that to the likes of Paris, which was extremely easy. Mind you, one of the things that's been really great about Vancouver is the ability to walk everywhere. Like you can walk to the stadium, you can walk to the bar afterwards. You can stay close by as well. Like everything's in one precinct rather than having to get like a bus or train an hour out in any particular direction. So I heard that Vancouver got awarded the best host city for the World Cup recently, which I can see why, just based on how easy it is to get around here and enjoy it.
And how was the experience in BC Place Stadium itself?
It was great. I thought the stadium was awesome. I mean, it was a bit hot inside. I kind of wish that they drew the curtain back and allowed the people to breathe a bit more. Other than that, it was, yeah, really modern, really nice stadium. So no seat was really a bad seat. I'm used to the MCG in Melbourne, which holds 100,000 people. And if you're not on the bottom level, you're back and kind of far away from the action a bit. Whereas I think about a 50 or 60,000 seat stadium there, close to a football pitch, meant that even where we were on the top level, it was fine too. So, no, I thought the stadium was terrific.
And the service levels and pricing, how was it?
Service level was great. Like in Qatar, it felt like the people manning hospitality booths and food vendors and what were doing it for the first time. Whereas here it feels like, you know, the staff have all been trained up just by working on sporting events, you know, throughout the year and all year round, which meant that, you know, they know how to do simple things like serve food and drink immediately. So that's all been fine. Pricing has been okay as well. I mean, I kind of did brace myself a little bit coming into the US and have been to the US before, so knew a little bit what to expect, but definitely much better than Qatar, where it was about $25 for a beer, so or for a non-alcoholic beer, that is. So yeah, it's been pretty good so far, and the Canadian dollar is definitely more favorable for Australians.
Later in the day, Williams successfully crossed the border into the United States en route to Seattle. FIFA said more than 52,000 people attended the June 18th Canada versus Qatar match at BC Place. The breaker noticed some of the people coming and going from the VIP gate at Terry Fox Plaza, such as Vancouver's police chief Steve Rye and Trevor Ford, the chief of staff to Mayor Ken Sim. Some of the 1,000 fans airlifted to Vancouver thanks to the Emir of Qatar. Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber and former U.S. Soccer Federation President Sunil Gulati and his entourage stopped for a selfie outside BC Place. Garber thinks the stadium is not good enough for the Vancouver Whitecaps. Developer Ian Gillespie of Westbank, who is planning to build an AI data center beside BC Place. After the match, the visitors from Qatar left disappointed. Security forces from Qatar, accompanied by RCMP officers, marched onto Beatty Street. Vancouver Mayor Ken Sim, his wife, and one of his sons attended the match with Chip Wilson, the founder of Lululemon and the head of Low Tide Properties. Sim stopped to hug police officers and also Jesse Adcock, the top official of Vancouver City Hall's FIFA World Cup host committee. Former Canadian national team star Dwayne Di Rosario and British Columbia's Lieutenant Governor Wendy Kokia, her aides and family, and various officials from FIFA. that's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of June 21st, 2026. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. As always, send me your comments, send me your news tips. Go to thebreaker.news and click the contact link. Follow The Breaker News on YouTube and X, formerly Twitter. Get updates to your inbox. Go to bobmackin@substack.com. Become a paid member and get early access to podcasts. Until next week.